It's like...
Holding in.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And this is the second of two podcasts. This one all about internationals, because the start of the autumn international series has begun. If you were would rather listen to Premiership right now and domestic matters and then come back to this, that's fine. It's in the feed. And if you haven't hit subscribe already, by the way, this is very exciting. I'm Tim in the Rugby Dungeon with JB.
Hello, Tim.
I'm with Phil.
Hello, Tim.
But this is the first ever rugby show done in the metaverse. We are here. So pop on your Oculus headset and come and sit with us in the Rugby Dungeon in this.
How disappointed do you think people would be? Because I once bought this little Samsung, or was about to buy this little Samsung camera, which sits on the table.
How disappointed will people be that I'm only joking?
Yes. Very. But I nearly bought this little Samsung camera. It sits on your table, and then you get it on YouTube, and then you can sort of, you know, if that makes sense. Do you know the little things where you move your camera?
Yeah,
so
okay.
So film us in 3D, and then they could look around the Rugby Dungeon as we spoke.
So if you're wearing your Oculus or VR glasses,
exactly.
You could sit and look from one to the other.
Yes, so it's like you're sat on the middle of the table.
So what avatar would you choose, JB?
No, I was going to say that would be all right if he was actually looking at actual us. Because you were treating it like it's I'm just watching the podcast live, but from a 360 kind of angle. That's cool. The metaverse thing is creepy as hell because
I don't want to know about it, Tim. I don't want to know about it.
Let me give you the brief introduction. A virtual world,
yeah,
where you exist as a cartoon character, and you would have your social interactions. You would meet people. You'd go out for beers virtually.
No thanks.
So you stand in a virtual pub. And you'd meet in a virtual pub.
There's some bloggers that would like this.
And order a virtual beer with your virtual money, and you'll sit and have a real chat across in a virtual landscape.
Yeah, it's not for me. I do understand that The Rock is using his JB avatar, though. So what I'm going to use, I don't know.
Well, The Rock one's presumably spare.
Yeah, The Rock one's spare.
That's a downgrade.
Yeah, it is a downgrade. So I don't know. I think I'll be avoiding it. I wouldn't mind throwing my... If I wasn't addicted to it like it's crack, I would probably throw my phone in a wood chipper.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sensible.
I've got that dilemma because when I was having a chat with my son Louis, who's got an Oculus headset and stuff.
Has he really?
Yeah. He saved up his money for years. He did jobs and stuff to get it. And
Fair play.
He loves it. He's had it for a while. Anyway, I was chatting to him about this Facebook metaverse thing and I thought, I can't warn him off it. I can't say, just honestly, don't get sucked in. It's just going to be... Don't let virtual reality replace reality. But I thought that's exactly the sort of thing that's going to make a kid do the exact opposite.
Mm. And I'm a little bit more supportive of the whole gaming culture. I mean, it must be
gaming. Useful. One thing that's fine. That's not what this is, mate.
But it's an extension, right? It is an extension. Like, you know, people are like, oh well, you know, why? It used to be scary movies or movies that was going to pollute all the kids, and it was gaming. And actually, everyone's ended up being absolutely fine anyway. So I suspect this will be everyone ending up absolutely fine.
Probably.
Although not going to rugby clubs and playing rugby.
I can see it as the only benefit I can see it is would be not to replace your social life, but as a better, more user-friendly work life. As in, if you can have a more normal meeting, because the problem if you're having a Zoom or a Teams meeting, only one person can talk at once. Perhaps if you have it in a more immersive world, you could have multiple kind of conversations going, or a more normal meeting in the metaverse.
It's probably going to be very useful if you're a low status beta male. Other than that, I can't see any reason to use it.
There were no low status beta males, as you put it, on show in the rugby this weekend.
The autumn international rugby
has begun. We got a couple of games, more than a couple of games, a couple of high profile games involving Six Nations teams in the autumn series, which just whet our appetite for what is to come. And let's dig into these games a little bit.
Wales was a disaster. There's no other way to put it. It was a team that wasn't worthy to play the All Blacks. They acted like a team that weren't worthy to play the All Blacks. They can't hit a line out to save their lives. I mean, the line out's embarrassing. Presumably, the point of playing in Wales is that you all know the same line out calls. I would have thought. You know, when you watch the All Blacks and Wales play, you're watching two, I'd say, international clubs. They're not true international teams.
Wait. I'm gonna jump in and stop you mid flow. You can dissect.
Yeah, sure.
You can dissect Wales a second. Joel is a new patron.
Okay.
Patreon.com/eggchasers.
Hi, Joel.
He's a new supporter, and he says, firstly, lads, long time listener, new patron, blah, blah, blah. He says, number one, before pushing any topic regarding the All Blacks away or Wales's misfortunes, can we get some love for Bodie B on his 100th Test cap? Let's start with a big old positive.
Oh, okay.
Before you say how bad Wales were, let's just talk about Beauden Barrett. It's not every day that one of the world's greatest players,
one of history's greatest players,
one of the greatest players in the history of the game, gets his 100th cap, and he did it.
I can't believe he's on 100 caps.
Yeah. I know, it's unreal, and he did it in a way that Beauden Barrett. He did it in a way that one of the best players ever would reach that century of caps by getting the first and last try, doing some outrageous things in the game, and getting man of the match.
So first and last, both intercepts as well.
Both intercepts.
So if you're an All Blacks fan, you have had the absolute privilege of having the best player in the world who usurped, well, at the time, the best player in the world. So as I remember it, did it go, unless I've got this wrong, did it go something like Mertens to Carter?
Mertens, best player in the world. I'm not having that.
He was up there, mate.
He wasn't the best player in the world. No chance.
Okay. Well, even if he wasn't, you've gone from decade.
From 2005.
Who was better than Mertens at the time? I thought he was brilliant.
No. But he might be the best fly half in New Zealand. He wasn't the best player in the world.
Dan Carter, would you agree Dan Carter was the best player in the world?
Dan Carter was, along with Richie McCaw.
I think Dan Carter was the best.
The best fly half in the world.
Best fly half in the world, yeah.
So Bowden's the best fly half in the world, would you say that?
Best fullback in the world as well.
Maybe Richie Moonga is now the best fly half in the world. He would be first choice.
And then they transition to Richie Moonga for the next 10 years and he gets 100 caps. God knows what the next guy is going to be like. Just spoil for choice.
It was lovely of Wales to sell him.
Gift him two tries.
Gift wrap him two tries.
The first one after 3 minutes. And that's actually... So New Zealand scored after 3 minutes. Wales actually did well to restrict it. So after 61 minutes, Wales were still in the game. I mean, they were never going to win it, but they were still in the game. And it was only the last 15 minutes when New Zealand scored.
But didn't that feel very old school? That's how New Zealand always used to do it. Last 20 minutes, just blitz you.
I did not enjoy this game on the account that I've seen this game so many times. It was exactly the same as one before and the one before that, and one before that. I've watched this game for 20 years.
Four tries in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, people far older than you have been watching this game for 67 years and 10 months. That was the last time Wales beat New Zealand.
It's just pathetic, isn't it? Look, you've got the best team on the planet. Well, one of, and your arch nemesis, a team which you've never beaten before. And you can't play half your players. Now, a lot of those guys are unavailable, whether they would have played anyway, I don't know.
That's because this game was done for cash. It wasn't all games are done for cash, but this was you can't complain after the fact that this game was outside of the recognised international window and therefore certain players aren't available. They chose this game knowing they'd be up against New Zealand with their full strength team, without all their players that play outside of Wales, and they did it for the cash. Fair enough, nothing wrong with that. Rugby needs a bit of money after what they've been through.
They sold out. They sold out the Principality Stadium. 75,000 people in there.
You can't complain after the fact.
Well, I never complain. I never supported it anyway, so I don't really care either way. the lineouts were horrendous. I mean, to have those opportunities.
So there's three blown chances, weren't there?
Heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. You know, think about what Wales have gone through to get this team together. How many guys have bought back from England? And the idea is you come to Wales and you get looked after by the WRU. And if you're centrally contracted, you know, you should know the calls. And they were overthrowing things. It looked like they've never met each other. And I appreciate that Ken Owens pulled out last minute. Mm-hmm. He pulled out like two minutes after the squad announcement, which is unfortunate. They're still professionals. You know, they should still know how to execute these things. And if you're going to show up to the All Blacks, I mean, I find it marginally disrespectful that they bothered playing the All Blacks if you don't have a functioning lineout. What is the point? How do you win that game?
There's two teams involved.
There's
The All Blacks didn't overthrow the Wales with the Wales ball, did they?
Well, it's not necessarily an overthrow. It might be a bad lift.
It could well be.
As someone who's played hooker before, quite often the hooker gets the blame when there's a bad lift going
on. Yeah, but that's a timing issue, right? You've got to practice together. And there are good reasons they didn't. I get that. But I thought the point of playing in Wales is that everyone sort of knows each other and you get sort of club Wales in the same way you get club New Zealand. And New Zealand are so much further down that path, so much more settled than Wales. Watching New Zealand is like watching a club team. That's why they're so good. And they've got, you know, their pathway sorted, they've got their season sorted, and they've got a great product at the end of it. And then Wales, well, you know, they can do some great things in the Six Nations. Traditionally, I've found the autumn's just miserable for us.
They might have lost by 7 or 10 points fewer had they stuck those lineouts, but they got panned, and they were always going to get panned, ultimately.
Yeah, they were. But it did fill up the Principality and get some much-needed money into the WRU.
You could fill up the Principality by feeding feeding players to Lions, or, you know, there's all sorts of other ways to do it. I mean, effectively, that's what they did to bloody Gareth Anscombe. He's only had four games back. Four games back. Do you want to go and play the All Blacks? Like, it's some sort of kickabout. Then they bring Rhys Priestland on. So Rhys Priestland, last time he played for Wales, was, what, 5 years ago? 33-year-old, maybe older, 35-year-old. I've got no idea how old he is now.
They also saved a bit of money on, because they didn't bother having stewards or security in the stadium at all.
Oh, did they not?
No, because that fella, Jarvo69, managed to stand next to the New Zealand team during the national anthem.
I know we're not allowed to laugh at these things. You know, it's very serious.
If you don't know who this is, it's this fella who goes by the name Jarvo69, and he first became famous or infamous when he snuck on and stood on the field at Lord's in the cricket between England and India in the full Indian team stash. He then did it at the fourth test at the Oval.
He then managed it at an NFL
game, and now he stood with Jarvo69 on his back right next to the All Blacks at the national anthem.
Bloody hell, that takes some nerve, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That takes some real nerve. Now, I know you're not meant to celebrate these people. We're meant to be very stern and serious. Because that's what we're meant to do, Tim. We're not meant to do it, but it is funny, isn't it?
Well, Brad Webber found it funny, and he tweeted that he wanted, where's Jarvo? I want to have a beer with him.
Oof. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say things like that. You're not allowed to encourage him.
I don't mind that. I get annoyed when a streaker or someone goes on in the middle of the game, when a game has to get...
Oh, yeah, in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
Like, when there's a breakdown, a streaker and running around and evading... Like, actually, if you're gonna be a streaker and run on the pitch, pick your moment so the game has stopped, and make sure you're quite an athletic guy so you can get away from the stewards diving and falling over.
Yeah, because stewards are not athletic, are they?
Yeah, no, they're not.
Imagine Cheslin Colby as a streaker.
Yeah.
You could have 100 stewards.
So let's
and
go through
not
our, let's go through some of our favourite streaker moments. So number one, just because of the barefaced nerve of it, was when Vodafone started paying streakers to run onto pitches with Vodafone on their chest. That was quite
good. That's cool.
That is cool. Number two, I think, was it Tim Flowers? Why am I thinking Tim Flowers?
Blackburn Rovers goalkeeper.
He didn't streak, but I'm sure he tripped up. I'm sure he tripped up. Maybe it wasn't him, but in my mind, it was the Blackburn Rovers keeper that tripped up a streaker. Or was it Joe Hart, maybe? There's that one. There was this mental South African that ran onto the field to attack the referee. He wasn't a streaker, he's just someone insane. And the All Blacks dragged him away. The All Blacks and South African dragged him away.
Was it Harry Nordicki's dad did at one? Did he come on to attack a ref or berate a ref?
Oh, I hope so.
Years ago.
Maybe.
See if I can find anything.
Yeah, the football one. I'm sure, maybe. It's really annoying me now. But yeah, the football one was quite good because the goalkeeper absolutely took care of business. My favourite one is when the generic excuse, like, oh, you should take we should take these people very seriously. What if they had a knife? He's naked. Where's he going to hide the knife? You can't encourage
Emmanuel Arunodiki's father joined son in brawl during match.
Oh, I love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this tweet from the referee?
Just on this, I just want to say the one that I remember seeing, it was a stag do, as these things often start out as. And the stag, and what was it? It was, the stag was, it was shepherd and sheep? Anyway, one of the... Anyway, there's one guy that was dressed up. It was at a Sale Sharks game at Edgeley Park in Stockport years ago. And he was a very athletic guy. The stewards, not so much.
Yeah.
And it was just... it was like you could have put Benny Hill music to it.
Oh, God.
And he just managed to keep evading all these stewards.
Did he get back into the crowd? Over.
Yeah, he got back into the crowd.
Yeah. Christ. I can't think of anything more nerve-wracking. It makes me feel sick doing something like that. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Do not.
Funny.
But it's not funny, but we do laugh.
But you're allowed to laugh at Jarvo 69 standing next to New Zealand for the national anthem.
Keeps doing it.
The fact he keeps doing it.
There was a guy who made the team photograph for United when they won the Champions League.
Yeah,
right.
I remember that.
That's a great thing, isn't it?
Like, the bigger the occasion, the more impressive it is.
Yeah. Maybe, actually, if you're out there, someone, go and join the G20 photograph. Nothing will go wrong there.
As Justin Trudeau in Aladdin outfit.
Exactly, yeah. Go as Aladdin. Go as Aladdin. Claim you Justin Trudeau. Wonderful, wonderful idea.
Carl Power, I've just got the photo up of the Champions League photo. He just stood on the end. That bloke there. This is the United Champions League game.
And that's about £100 worth of kit in 1990 as well.
Yeah.
Whenever it was.
At least.
1999.
That is ridiculous.
Touch upon a couple of the positives from this before we go into that. I haven't forgotten about your.
No, that's right. I'm done with it.
Your referee tweet, but
oh yes,
that Sevu Reese try. Oh my goodness, there were some outrageous moments in this game. That was probably the pick of them.
The top, best two tries were the Will Jordan try, which was awesome.
16 tries in 11 tests.
Yeah, awesome. But the Sevu Reese try was amazing. Not least because Severis touches the ball three times, three, like, 1-2s, the first of which he gets tackled after. So he offloads the ball, gets tackled, gets off the ground to receive the pass that came back to him almost immediately.
Incredible.
It was astonishing.
He is.
I have no idea how he managed it.
Such a player.
He would bash out the burpees in a CrossFit wad, wouldn't he?
The musculature of the man. He's just a ball of muscle. He's incredible.
Yeah.
Who else? When I knew it was going to get tough for Wales is when I saw the back row when they were down to Tane Basham, who actually played really well.
Yeah,
and Aaron Wainwright played well.
Yeah. Aaron Wainwright showed a good turn of pace.
First time I've seen Tane Basham play, knowing I probably might have watched a Dragons game in Europe, but I thought he looked good.
Yeah,
it's a very New Zealand name. Has he got Kiwi?
I thought that
Tane Basham.
Yeah, don't know. But when New Zealand bought on their sub and it was Akira Ioane, it's like, oh God, this is not going to get any easier.
Talking about Rose, though, I love Ardie Surveyor.
Yeah,
Ardie Surveyor.
I love him. He runs in such an angry fashion. And when he's...
Lewis Ludlam.
The way he fights when he's going to ground, he's like... he reminds me of...
He runs...
When you're trying to land a fish... And it's just...
He runs like the whole St. Helens team after they've been tackled. Do you know that rugby league?
That rugby league thing they do before,
But like all 13 combined.
Yeah, he does that with every step. He is so explosive.
He just wants it, isn't he? You can just tell that he wants to make those yards. That's what he's there for. there to do.
And he's totally defying anyone that that says, oh, he's an impact player, which a lot of people have done. He's,
but he could be.
I mean,
there's no reason why not.
He'll be very impactful, but he's great for 80 minutes as well.
He can do whatever he wants. He is such a good player.
I'd love to bring him off the bench. Crikey, you want to change a game. You want to change a game, or you want to, you know, play it out. Yeah, you could do any of that. He's awesome.
He's absolute class.
I can't really think of any other positives for Wales. I really wish I could.
Cash in the bank.
Cash in the bank is great.
What else?
Hey, look, it's nice to have the Millennium Stadium open. It's nice to have fans in there. There are some good things. The rugby wasn't great, and I don't think anyone learned anything much, and I don't think it's particularly useful for Wales going forward.
Now, Wales did sell out the Millennium Stadium. Scotland...
Principality,
mm-hmm. Yes. Scotland could only get 30,000 people into Murrayfield.
That is dire.
Partly because, and we've had Ian Kennedy email us at Ruby Podcast.
Contact eggchasers at gmail.com.
There you go. But he said, so he bought the Scotland season pass, which gets him the Autumn Internationals plus Six Nations game.
Okay, so he's really supporting his national team?
Yeah, plus under-20s and the women's game.
Right, so he,
which
so
is
he
great.
Has, great, so he obviously got this as well then, yeah?
He did not get this game,
what?
Even though he's paid for all of those other things. Scotland, the SIU tried to sell this as a separate event.
What?
And evidently it fell down. They couldn't give tickets away in the end after forcing people who've already paid for those
what
things.
What goes on in some of these organisations?
There is also the... I'm not going down this rabbit hole, but there is also the fact that in Scotland they have the most outrageous... rules when it comes to this ridiculous passport thing, whereas Wales, yep, you can show a negative test. Scotland,
can you? I mean, that's enough for me not. That would be enough for me not to go. I didn't know that was the rules in Wales. I thought they had the COVID pass thing going on though.
Or a negative test on your COVID pass. It's all bollocks. But anyway, let's not
yeah,
go there.
Yeah,
it
yeah. Is.
But Scotland, it's even tougher. So that wouldn't have helped either.
No, it wouldn't have helped.
No.
I mean, they shouldn't be selling. I mean, look, if you've got the Scotland pass and it's got all those things on it, you can't just ask more money for another game. It's just not on. It's not on.
Apparently the excuse was this game was organised after the passes were sold, but just bolt it on. Like, it's not.
Do the right thing.
Or don't play it.
Because I can't imagine. But so what you're saying, they had about 30,000 people there, and by the sounds of it, they probably gave a load away to school kids at the last minute.
Absolutely.
And there won't be 50,000... people that have bought a season pass, so you could you could really look after the people that have really invested in your team, or you could piss them off
and have
a rubbish product to watch as a result. Not 100%. Product on the field, but the atmosphere at the ground.
So I don't really know what happened in this game other than Scotland won by a lot of points.
Same here.
I know that another born and bred Scot called Stain.
Kyle Stain
got a
local lad
got a hat-trick.
Kyle Stain.
Four tries on debut.
Apparently only one of the try scorers, is that right, was born in Scotland?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Consternation.
All
on Twitter.
I mean, Kyle Stain grew up dreaming of pulling on
blue
jersey.
I would dream of playing for any international team that would pay me to play.
100%. No, I totally agree with that.
Couldn't wait to take their money. it's always been my dream to earn thousands of pounds for a rugby game.
Ian did quite an interesting sign-off from Ian, who described himself as the proverbial fat dad who hasn't played since he left school but would love to go back if it wasn't for the complete lack of fitness and skill. And I was thinking, CrossFit. You could advise CrossFit.
Yeah.
For the Stop. Start with CrossFit. It'll
change
get
your
back
life.
Into rugby.
You'll be changing your life. You'll be back on that field and...
throwing missed passes and dropping balls.
Yeah, 100%.
you'll look great doing it.
Offloading into touch.
Oh, I enjoyed a bit of backwards and forwards on referees, which will come on to your stuff. But Lee French, friend of the pod, played with us in North Dorset Sevens, who said that in one of his referees' appraisals, he got told to lose some weight.
I love that. I couldn't stop laughing.
Not because he was unfit, but for aesthetics.
For optics. Leeds is not in. He's not in bad shape.
No, not at all. He was great when we were playing as well.
Lose some weight for optics. What?
As a referee, and a referee's assessor telling that.
I was just looking at just briefly. I was looking at the Scotland pack, and that's one positive for them is that they've evidently got pretty much their whole international pack, with one or two exceptions, but a good enough international pack, all playing in those two teams in Scotland.
In Scotland, yeah.
That pack looks good.
With the exception of Rory Sutherland, Johnny Gray,
Sam Skinner.
Yeah, but would he be starting?
Probably not, no.
He'd be a bench player.
There's a lot of players there. Blair Kinghorn played at 10.
Yep, people get very excited
and
about
that. Yeah, and Darcy Graham playing at 15.
Who is this new lad that they've got? This kid on the wing.
Oh, we just mentioned him.
What's his name?
Kyle Steyn.
No, that's not
the other one.
He's got proper.
McLean. Rory McLean, is it?
It's not Rory or something ridiculous.
No, it's got. I think it's an R. Begins with an R.
No, but I've seen a highlight of him. And I thought, wow,
Roddy McLean. Oh, I can't remember.
I didn't see this game. I've not seen him playing the game. Don't even know if he did play in the game. But I've seen some highlights of this kid, and wow, he looks electric.
Watch out for McLean.
I need to know now. I need to know what his first name is.
Rufus,
there you go. I knew it was an R. Rufus McLean.
21 playing for Glasgow.
All right, so that's all the great games.
No. There was a 1v2 in the world match this weekend.
Please tell me about it. Tell me about
it. It was genuinely good.
I'm sure it was.
So I watched that. So I know you watched it. Red Roses versus the All Blacks.
I didn't watch it all. I watched the first 20 minutes.
While I had
Quins v Saracens on pause, so that I could then watch it as well and watch all the adverts in the middle as well.
Yeah, clever.
I always watch the adverts to see who's supporting the game. I never fast forward.
No.
So I did watch the highlights of it. I'm very impressed with both the pace and the skill level of the Red Roses. Some awesome tries.
It's hard that I've thought about how I was going to make that exact point. And I make no apologies if it sounds patronising, but it's testament to how far those two teams have come relative to the women's game in general. They are light years ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
And that particular fixture is objectively great to watch. As a rugby spectacle.
Yeah. Really good game. And that's a hell of a performance for England to put 40 points on.
Who do they play next?
Play each other. Three game series in the autumn up here. Three game series in the summer down there. There you go. International rugby done. Your Six Nations if you want. That's fine.
Yep.
France are all right, so they can play as well. But they're operating on a different level. And it's a bit like this is when you look at the trajectory of the men's game. There were World Cups in the early World Cups when there were 100-point drubbings. Japan being a great example. Yeah, Japan got hammered by New Zealand by over 100
look
points.
Look at Wales, New Zealand this week. It's hardly competitive. Look, I think that the women's game has one of the best, most exciting opportunities in all of rugby to develop itself, because you've got a completely clean slate. And we can look at all of the horrendous mistakes that men's rugby have done and say, do you know what we shouldn't do? We shouldn't do that and that and that and that and that. And you could have an incredible product. The thing which upsets me the most about women's rugby is they are looking at the men's game not as a cautionary tale, but as what they want. So let's go and have a Lions tour. Why? Let's go and replicate everything the men have done. Why? They've got so much opportunity and they're going to make all the same mistakes. And for that, I just can't get behind it, because I think it's criminal. I think it's criminal that they're basically selling out the women in order to have a game which looks like the men's game but is not the men's game.
Yeah, and they've gone, they've got their Premier 15s domestic league. They could have done that in a totally different way. Could have regionalised it, or rather than mirroring the English club.
Exactly.
There's a ton of different ways you could have done it.
Imagine if I gave a blank piece of paper to one of the owners or one of the really switched on CEOs, like Steve Vaughan or one of the owners like Simon Orange or someone like that, said, here is a blank piece of paper, write me down how you'd like this tournament to look. They would never write what the Premiership looks like, or you said the global calendar, what does that look like? They would never do any of this. We've just grandfathered it all in, and the women's game seem destined just to follow it blindly, and I think it's a disaster waiting to happen. But congratulations on your win against on New Zealand. Please don't make the same mistakes as the men's game.
Good win. That's
my appeal.
There was another game.
Spain.
at the Estadio Nacional.
Now, is this Spain versus Italy A, by any chance?
Correct.
That was not the place we went to. That's a different name, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's the place that we went to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is it? What's it called?
Estadio Nacionales Complutense.
Yes, sir.
It's the university.
Oh, course. Yeah.
Complutense.
Such
university
a great ground, that.
It is my favourite ground.
It's awesome ground. Yeah, Spain narrowly lost to Italy, frustratingly.
Yeah, that is quite annoying. Right, let's talk about England and one of the most remarkable bits of sports journalism in the last couple of years, I would say, from my point of view. This is Owen Slott writing about Eddie Jones this week. Did you two read it?
Yes.
I did.
What do you think of it?
I thought it was remarkable. Really good piece.
Yeah.
And good because a lot of pieces... and Eddie Jones, who hadn't read the piece, actually referenced this in his interview with BT Sport this evening. But a lot of pieces paint you in one direction as bad or good. And this kind of gave a lot of both sides. It gave a lot of bad. It also gave a chunk of the good of
yes,
Eddie Jones.
Did.
And kind of said, well, make up your own mind.
That's exactly where I came from. That's why it's such a good piece, because it doesn't treat you like an idiot. It's not a biased piece. I think it's a fair piece. And the exact words you said, I said to quite a few people this week, I got to make up my own mind. I think that's brilliant, brilliant writing.
You hadn't already made up your mind before you read it, and then you did your mind change at all?
No, it didn't, because everything that Owen Slott wrote, I kind of already knew. I knew there was I knew there was a high turnover of staff. I didn't know.
That just sounds. I love you, JB, because I know what you mean. I just also love how that sounds. Did you change your mind? No, because everything Owen Slott said, I already knew.
It's like the meme. Confirmation bias means exactly what I expected it to.
Exactly. The colour though he added was like everyone he interviewed who was his biggest detractor said what a great mind he was.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the added colour, because you know, I've spoke to players who've played for him and they say he's brilliant, but he's also a bit of an arse. And maybe that's what you need when you're in the highest level of sport. I don't know. I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people know. I tell you the aspect that of it I feel is fascinating, and I really admire Owen Slott for not going down this route. But a couple of people mentioned welfare, and that always is a red flag to me. And mental health is another one, a red flag to me. I think, oh, where is this going? And it was referenced, but he didn't continue down that path. And I wonder how that sits with the RFU, that there's even whispers like this, because the RFU want to be this, you know, cosy, inclusive, whatever it is, organisation. And yet, at the top of it, they've got a guy who occasionally can act like an absolute tyrant. But is his behaviour worth his success and his knowledge about the game and the occasional dips in performance? Yeah, I think it probably is.
Yeah, and you are playing at the cutting edge of elite sport.
Yeah.
It is going to be very, very tough. In the same way that at the cutting edge of any industry is going to be very, very tough.
Yeah.
Like you read totally, totally different industry, but you read about Steve Jobs as an individual and probably some of the behaviours that Eddie Jones has allegedly displayed at times, like incredibly aggressive tyrant, almost bullying at times. That's someone who changed the world, but also displayed those type of behaviours.
So here's the thing. So bullying does come to mind now, because I always say rugby is a game about bullying the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I had this conversation with Chris Borden. I said this to him, which is along the lines of, how do you expect people to impose their will on others if you don't impose your will on them? Because that's kind of how rugby players respond, I think. You know, they're high testosterone, competitive animals. You know, they need to be, you know, sometimes you need a bit of Steve Diamond or a bit of something like that to make them do what you want. So I'm not actually surprised, but there is definitely a bullying culture in rugby. And one of the reasons that this hit home to me was...
what do you mean when you say that?
I will explain. Right? So imagine some of the things which were in that article. Like, if someone asked me to leave...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Room. I'm not leaving a room. I think you'd be the same, Tim. I think, I'm not sure about you, Phil. I think you might meekly go out the door.
I'm always very meek.
But like, there's an example of Eddie Jones saying, just get out. And the coach getting out. I'm like, if someone spoke to me in that manner, we'd both be getting out. Like, there's no way that I'd just be getting out. This wouldn't end particularly. It wouldn't end well for me. But I'm not doing that. And I'm just amazed by how many of the coaches took it. And yet you see these coaches away from that environment, and they're very abrasive, very bullish, like a Gusto, I'd say, or you know, they're guys that you wouldn't mess with. But yet when they're in front of Eddie Jones, they sort of bow down to him. And I do think that is an element of bullying culture, because that's exactly what bullies do when...
Equally, and I'm not defending this, I'm just talking from my own personal anecdotal experience. I've had situations professionally and privately in various relationships, rugby even actually, now I think about one, where when I've sort of stood up and said, no, I'm not taking this from you, I've actually... The relationship's improved, and they've respected me more, I think.
Yeah.
Which probably means they're slightly not wired correctly, because it doesn't sound a particularly healthy way to go, but I think I can think of a couple of occasions where I've done better out of saying, no, I'm not accepting what you say.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I've actually seen this happen in real life in rugby clubs, professional ones, where you know the guy in charge says, just get out. Or what are you doing here? And it's just a very aggressive way. But I thought it's so interesting that the coaches were just coming in, who are themselves very aggressive, but they're actually taking it. And that's sort of it's like a subservient culture almost. Well,
there is a clear hierarchy.
Yes,
as in Eddie Jones is the top of the hierarchy.
Just to say, it's like in military is a place where that would happen.
Maybe bullying culture is not the right way to put it.
I wouldn't put it like that.
Hierarchical.
Yeah, it is.
That's very hierarchical.
It's hierarchical because military would be a great example. Of where that would be,
but you do know
normal,
you are
acceptable.
Subordinate. You're brought in on the basis that you're subordinate, and that means.
And like the other thing I can't really square from all this is when it's written down like the way Eddie Jones spoke to Mitchell.
That was pretty remarkable.
You're not going to cricket, mate,
because they had like a 3-4 year working relationship.
Yeah, you're not going to cricket, mate. What? Now I've seen Eddie Jones on video with three. Small Scottish lads just not looking like he's enjoying it, and I can't believe that. I can't see how that character, which you saw in that video, who was so
by Manchester train station,
how he's so shy and retiring, then also turns on to John Mitchell, who's meant to be a psychopath, and says, mate, you're not going to cricket to watch your son
again. It's hierarchy. There's no hierarchy with those. So there is a clear structural hierarchy within the RFU, evidently, because Eddie Jones is at the top of it, to three.
But three nobodies
three chaps like, in the street. God, there is no hierarchy.
Not having this, don't like it, and I just can't square these relationships. But it's a phenomenal article.
It was a
very interesting article. Did you see the interview on BT Sport today?
I saw
as we recorded
the second half of it, and I got the jokey parts. I didn't see the start of it. So what happened at the start?
Oh no, it was. One question that kind of alluded to that article and some of the bits of content in it, and Eddie Jones's response was, mate, I'm not even going to offer an answer to that question because it's not a good question, mate.
Yeah, he spoke about Yeah. So there was, like, basically he tried to discredit. So he said he'd not read this article because he doesn't read any newspapers, and then tried to push it into the, well, they're always going to say you're either bad or you're good, and when they say you're good, they say
you're great. You're never as good as they say. When you're bad, mate, you're never as bad as what they say, mate.
Which was interesting because this article is, well, it's giving you, really. Well, it's giving you both.
Yeah.
It's giving you, it's setting out facts or statements from other people on both planes and allowing you to decide.
Yeah, I still don't really know where Owen Slott stands on it, which is why it's so good.
But then he went on to, Craig Doyle asked a more direct question, to which Eddie Jones said it's a bad question, and then Craig Doyle kind of backtracked a little bit and said, well, I'm just asking what the fans want to know. People have been talking.
I don't think I'd how would you follow up with that? I'd say no, it's a good question. answer the question.
But that's then you get into an argument with him.
Well, yeah, you don't want to get into an argument, but saying, being told your question's a bad question, I wouldn't have appreciated that.
Well, no. Okay, so, or ask him, well, what's the better question then?
Yeah.
What would you prefer to be asked?
I apologise for the bad question, Eddie. Let me try and ask a better one. I don't know.
Yeah. Because if you ask that, then it's like, well, you want me to tell you how to do your job?
Yeah.
I know how to do my job. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job.
It's just, the best part of that response is it kind of proves the point that Owen Slott was making. Perfectly, actually.
It does, yes.
So just wonderful stuff all around. It does help explain the Eddie phenomenon of getting to the World Cup final and then having the worst result in Six Nations history for England or whatever that was, or the worst result in 25 years. And I don't think the RFU were particularly happy about that because they were like, well, why are they focusing on the worst result when we're World Cup finalists? And also, he's got the best win percentage of any English coach. Yeah, but again, it explains it because he's a man of extremes and he's on the cutting edge of international sport.
Well, equally, I think a lot of this narrative, a lot of the conversations that have are media driven. Because actually, when you stand back and, as you say, objectively judge on the field stuff, it's not dire, awful, dreadful. Like, we watched that when it was Andy Robinson. I know what dreadful with a team wearing an England shirt looks like, losing game after game. And that, oh, I remember that one at Argentina. Was that was the last straw, wasn't it, when they lost at home to Argentina? Oh, awful. Nothing under Eddie Jones has been awful. There's been moments of absolute brilliance. There's been moments where they've been off, not quite right. But in this interview that he gave, Eddie Jones actually brought up a bunch of facts and sort of justified his thinking about the evolution of how they play. And he said, actually, what I'm trying to do is anticipate what the game's going to look like and how the referees are going to interpret it and what the law's effects will be in 2 years' time and try and build for that. Because he said, he was like, the breakdown speed is 10% quicker in the last 12 months. And we've got to try and anticipate what it might look like. And that's the sort of team and they're the personnel that I'm bringing in.
Which is a theme that he has been pushing for a little bit of time now, which he pushed after the Six Nations and even before that, which is it's the kind of statements that lead him towards Marcus Smith, Sam Simmons type players.
And he did hold his hands up and say, we have been a little bit conservative, and that's on me, not the players. And we do need to, particularly with the laws and the way they're being interpreted, we do need to develop the way we play.
England are such a strange beast. They do things like nobody else does, and I've never heard of anyone doing. I'll give you an example. During the Nations Cup, they had this focus on physicality and defence. I've never heard of a international team say we're focusing on just defence and physicality openly at the expense of. It's like you tend to go in trying to be as balanced as you possibly can.
But that was that, and we said this last year. That was the first time they played properly since the World Cup final. Nations that was pre-COVID Six Nations, but that was, I think it was a direct.
It wasn't the same for Wales, same for Scotland, same for everyone else.
No, the World Cup final. The scar of the World Cup final.
The direct line between getting bullied in the World Cup final to doing that.
Yeah, Yeah, nobody goes through coaches like they do.
That is definitely true.
I am on the fence about how much the uncertainty is a help or a hindrance. I don't know. I mean, the uncertainty for Billy Vunipola seems to have worked wonders on George Ford. But what about the current guys?
Yeah. I think it's every player is different in that regard.
Mm.
Some people will want the warmth and the comfort and the certainty, and they will push themselves to the end. Like Owen Farrell, for example, will push himself regardless of that.
Mm.
Some people will need that kick up the bum. And I would suspect George Ford isn't someone who needs that kick up the bum, but there's just not room for him at the moment because Marcus Smith has played so well. Whereas Billy, it might be a rocket that he needs.
I mean, one of the players I spoke to about Eddie, who was playing for him right when he started, literally just said he's the best coach I've ever had.
Yeah.
Ever had. And the other coaches that he could list are phenomenal. So this guy is the best, hands down. I didn't actually believe him. I thought he's just spinning me a yarn because, no one
likes you can't badmouth your national coach.
Yeah. So he tallies up with what Owen Slot wrote.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. Would you, assuming you want to want England to do well, which obviously Tim and I definitely do, JB, let's put that hat on for you. Put yourself in the shoes of someone.
It depends. Do I want England to do well? It depends if I pick them to win that week. That's the only thing that matters.
So let's say you have picked England to win the next World Cup.
Yes.
So you want England to, you are heavily invested.
Okay, I'm in.
For England to do well. Would you keep Eddie Jones or get rid of him? And if you're going to get rid of him, who would you bring in?
Would I get rid of him? I think you missed the window to get rid of him. I really do. I think if you're going to get rid of him, you should have done it.
And for who?
Much earlier.
And for who?
Well, if you are, yeah. So you would...
Had you already done it, who would be the England head coach right now?
Yeah, if you do it straight after the last... 2019, straight after the World Cup final.
Wait a second. Have we not had this conversation? Did he just go through a break clause in his contract?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does matter because I think No, it does because I don't want to just repeat what I said. But I think I said I'd get rid of him because I could. It doesn't cost me any money.
Pre-break clause.
Assuming there was no cost, assuming all of that, who would be the England head coach right now?
I would offer it straight to Rob Baxter. Yeah, I would offer it to Rob Baxter straight away.
Yeah, I could probably go. So I would... mine is pretty simple. I would keep Eddie to the next World Cup, definitely. I've said that the whole way through. I like him, and I am aware even more now, but I was always aware there was a trade-off with Eddie in between that destructive nature, the tyrant nature, and the brilliant mind. It's a trade-off that I would always make at the cutting edge of professional sport, and I'd have someone who wants to perform the best and wants to get the best out of the players. So I would keep him, and then probably after the next World Cup, I would offer it to Rob Baxter.
Yeah, I would have got rid of him if I could have done it 6 months ago. But I wouldn't do it now. I think he's too close.
I'm exactly where you are, Phil. 100%. 100%.
I think he will definitely stay to the next World Cup. I hope he gets to plan everything his way, and I'm very interested to see. Because, I remember him saying after the New Zealand game, the semi-final at the last World Cup, that was a game that they'd been planning for like 3 years since the pools were announced. They knew that at one stage they would be playing New Zealand, at one stage or other they were incredibly likely to play New Zealand. They've been planning for that game, that performance, for 3 years. And so the planning for the next World Cup started probably even before the last World Cup ended. So I'm fascinated to see what actually happens, how Eddie tries to move the pieces around to get the best team to suit what he believes will be the game in 2 years' time.
Bearing in mind the character he is, and I and Phil has said this so many times on the podcast, and I couldn't agree with it more, the scars of that World Cup final were deep. Very, very, very deep.
It's and the third team he's taken to a World Cup final, and the third game he's lost.
Only just. I think England, hopefully, touch wood, it's over these next few weeks, but I think we're only just coming out of it.
That's not right. He's won South Africa.
Won in 2007 with South Africa. With Jake White as the head man.
But,
yeah. But 2003 with Australia, 2007 with South Africa. I don't think he went to World Cup, or was he Japan in 2011?
Ah,
being was Japan in no, no. But obviously, yeah. He was Japan in 2015. So, just has he been to every World Cup then? Subject to what he was doing in 2011, because he was.
I don't think he went.
I say every World Cup since 2003.
Yeah, quite possible.
Just have a quick look, see if he was head coach of Japan in 2011.
I'll tell you another great article about Eddie Jones. Look up Charlie Morgan's long read about him. God, that's good. Maybe it's just the subject of writing about Eddie Jones, which is interesting.
He's a fascinating character.
He is, isn't he?
So he did not go to the 2011 World Cup unless he was... So he wasn't coaching Japan, although he was coaching in Japan. So unless he went as a sub-coach.
All of the... I think the media love all the chat. Off the field, it makes for good copy, it makes for good conversations on podcasts and stuff, but ultimately it is completely irrelevant, and how the England perform on the field is the only relevant factor, and I'm optimistic about
what's
coming.
So you didn't say that when they finished fifth, though, did you?
But I didn't say that Eddie Jones is... the whole discussion should be about whether coaches don't like the culture or whether a player gets injured...
Yeah,
I would keep my criticism pretty much. Maybe people would go back and listen to the podcast and completely contradict.
But it is interesting.
I think a lot of it would be about how they play.
Interesting, how Gatland ran his operation in Wales. He had Sean Edwards there basically in the entirety. And look at Rob Baxter at Exeter. He's had some lads there who've been Exeter for 20-odd years. And in fact, I don't think anyone has come from outside of Exeter into that coaching staff for a decade. Hunter, Heifer, Hayden Thomas,
and the fellow with the beard, Marty Pellow. That's the wet lead singer, Ricky Pellow.
Yeah, so they've kept everything in house for donkey's years.
Saracens have a high turnover of coaches, but they don't bring that many from
only outside. Only because they keep on
getting
promoted.
Good. Yeah, getting too good. Saracens
too good
win
for the
too many
two.
Things.
Anyway,
as for England next week, here's one question: would you, quote unquote, get the kids in? Selection wise, what would you do?
So, cattle does he have? Does he have to play the game with? As Chris Boyd says.
So this is the game to get the kids in, because it's the Tonga game.
I'm just gonna draw a parallel with, and I know it's a very different set of circumstances and set of personnel, obviously this is international rugby, but I thought you nailed it brilliantly towards the end of last season when we were scratching our head at what Leicester were doing, and you said it's not a great thing to do to bring all of these kids in all at the same time. Cherry pick the ones that you're really excited about and you think could really make the step up and bring them into a functioning unit, and that's how I would look at Tonga.
Yeah,
I would
see.
Pick maybe four guys that you think these could actually change the dynamic of our team, slot them into everything else.
Freddie Stewart, I think he has to play.
Yeah, so yeah. Freddie Stewart would be one. Marcus Smith would be another.
Yeah.
One of the scrum halves is going to get some game time.
Off the bench, I'd
say. Rafter Quirk is the one.
If he's fit.
He comes off the bench.
And you're looking at Dom Brandt.
Not yet.
Potentially.
But would feed him into the squad a little later in the series.
But who plays eight then?
Simon? Oh, Christ, yeah, because they're all new.
Curry is the only stable one
who's of those
played eight.
This is a game where one of those eights have to play.
And he didn't mention... Do you know what? I've got a feeling Tom Curry is going to be future England captain.
Well, yeah. When he was asked who's the first name on your team sheet...
I was literally saying to my iPad at the time, Tom Curry. If Tom Curry is the captain, do you know how many people are going to be mortified it wasn't Mario?
It's mad that Tom Curry would be the first name on Eddie Jones' team sheet. He's got an identical twin brother who's genetically identical brother that can't get anywhere near the squad.
No.
It's amazing.
That is remarkable, actually.
And is this a mind game? Bearing in mind he told Matt Gissow not to have a drink on his birthday, and then later on he said, go on, mate, have a drink.
Have a drink,
yourself.
Yeah.
Like, is this a mind game?
Is he trying to break Ben Curry?
Is he trying to break Tom Curry somehow? No idea. Madness.
Eddie's choice.
Oh, poor Ben looking at his bank balance.
Oh,
Tom's
I know.
Got all of these England caps.
Horrendous.
When is
the legal route for Ben?
I bet you Tom goes massively overboard on Christmas presents this year again.
For Ben.
For Ben, yeah. He'll just buy Ben an amazing, like, a car.
Lego set.
Yeah. Just an incredible over-the-top present. No, not to rub it in, just because he feels guilty.
No, to rub it in. No, to rub it in. They're constantly competing.
The problem, and I think it works okay, but the problem with having any significant changes for the Tonga game is they've only got three games. And then after Tonga, you're straight into Australia and then South Africa, who, they're bloody good teams, and they've played a lot of rugby together this year.
That's a great point. So they've got to go full bore almost. But like,
you've got to go full bore,
so
but
let's
I
say
think there is...
two or three changes then.
Well, yeah, there will be a few younger lads. You can pick the team pretty much, because you're down to a much smaller squad now. You're only just over 30 men. So there's only two loose heads. Marla starts and Genge off the bench probably is the most likely way. There's three hookers, Blamire, George and Nick Dolly.
Wow.
I mean, you probably go for George, although he was the last one added to the squad.
I think you're looking at Blamire or Dolly. I mean, you have to if George is just coming in from the cold, right?
I don't know, but the experience. Maybe Jimmy George has got so much experience and so much experience with Marrow and Courtney and Johnny Hill, who are likely to be the
Nick
jumpers.
Nick Dolly being called up is a disaster. Not for Nick Dolly, it's brilliant. Hopefully for England, it's brilliant. But from Leicester Tigers' point of view, they got in a hooker precisely
so he doesn't get called up.
Get the lad from Coventry in. Oh yeah, okay, fine. Oh, he's gone to England. What? Because like Montoya's going to New Zealand,
Argentina.
Like, so this is Dolly's time. They're going to have to go through that process all over again now.
Yeah, and Tom Young is in indefinite leave.
Yeah. So just an absolute nightmare.
So I think they probably will go George, definitely for the two latter games, but it's a chance for Dolly or Blamire to start in the first game. Then Tighthead pick themselves, Sinclair and Stewart.
Yeah.
Davidson's third choice. Second rows, there's only three out-and-out second rows.
Marrow Hill.
So you assume Courtney Laws will be competing for the back row more than second row, but it's Marrow, Johnny Hill, and then Charlie Yules. So it's Marrow and Johnny Hill.
I have horrible feelings when you go with Charlie Yules. It fills me with dread, that
is. It's Marrow and Johnny Hill.
I hope you're right, Sim.
Courtney Laws blindside, Tom Curry openside, Simmons or I'd go Don Brandt. But we'll see.
I would like to see Don Brandt, but... Yeah. I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
I'd be happy to see Sam Simmons have a chance again.
I would. Actually, now I've talked about I'd rather see Callum Chick. I think Callum Chick gets on that shirt, he doesn't let it go.
Sam Simmons has got a slight... we were just bigging him up earlier. He's got ever such a slight RD Surveyor vibe about him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
As is Lewis Ludlow.
Ludlum. Ludlum more than Ludlow. Yeah, definitely. I don't think... So George Martin's in the squad. I think it's too soon and too early. Underhill would be interesting because I can see Courtney, Underhill, Curry at 8 as the starting team, with then Don Brandt or Simmons off the bench.
Yep.
Ben Youngs and Raffi Quirk, if Quirk's not fit, Mitchell, who's just come into the squad this evening, will get called up. I think Marcus Smith starts at 10, which means Owen Farrell, who's captain, starts at 12. And then it's a toss-up between Slade and Tuilagi at 13. And then on the wings, so Johnny May probably will start because he's been ever-present for the last few years. And then it's who starts alongside him, Radwan, Malins or Freeman, assuming that Freddie Stewart starts at 15, which I think is the most likely.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So Stewart's going to come in.
Stewart comes in.
Smith comes in.
Yeah.
And this is where I think a number 8 should come in. And then there's your kind of 3, possibly hooker, 4.
Yeah, hooker could be 1. Hooker could be in the first.
That
test.
Feels about right. That's kind of feels about right. I think your point on there being three games is a great one.
You've got to win those two latter games. You've got to be... got to beat Australia and you've got to beat South Africa. So it's whatever prepares them best for that.
There'll be plenty of people moaning. If that was the team, there'll be plenty of people moaning about not getting X, Y, or Z in. But we'll see.
Yeah, there'll always be, there is no team that will stop the moaning.
Nope.
Especially from us as well. We'll be moaning loads.
Yeah. Nothing yeah. any can do right.
Absolutely.
In my mind.
Should we go through the games then?
Yeah. So England will win. Next one?
Yeah. So there's a few.
By the way, can I just mention, absolute coup, if you happen to be in a car, or you just want to, you know, do some work or go for a walk whilst the rugby's on, or you're stuck having to, I don't know, look after kids or whatever, amazing commentary of all the autumn internationals.
Where?
On Talk Sport.
What?
Oh, where? Nice.
I might be popping up here and there.
Nice. Oh,
lovely.
So, yeah.
What time can we listen out for you?
And if also, so if visuals aren't for you.
Yeah, exactly. If you want a face for radio.
Oh, so commentary.
Not commentary. No, oh. I'm just holding the fort, piecing things together.
Okay.
Nice. And who are the comms team?
Good question.
I think I know. I can't remember his name.
Andrew McKenna.
Andrew McKenna, yes.
He'll be doing England games and some of the other games. I know that a very promising young commentator, Alfie Reynolds, is doing some of them, who was a great producer on some shows I've done before. Good bloke as well.
Mm.
But anyway, he will... So Talk Sport. So, yeah. Anyway, but also on the telly.
Mm.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
So other games, we have an interesting one, Ireland hosting Japan. I think will be quite a good
what
game.
What time's yeah. kickoff for that?
That's an early kickoff on Saturday, so 1 o'clock kickoff.
Who do France have? Let's not waste our time.
France host Argentina.
Yes, and it's at 8 o'clock.
That's an 8 o'clock kickoff.
Yes. So this Saturday, Talk 8 are playing Fleetwood away. And our pub is actually closed down, so that's a shame. But we used to play the games, then we used to pile in to the club, watch the first one, and then just when you're getting a little bit hazy, a little bit too drunk, what happens?
France
kick off, and you're back into it. Yes, one more game to watch.
Yeah, I love the late France kickoff.
Yes, that makes me happy. So France
Argentina,
classic.
Italy host New Zealand. No point in that fixture.
Wales?
Wales have South Africa.
Interesting. I'm much more interested in this one.
Yeah.
With all their players.
Yeah.
With Bigger.
With non-injured players. Bigger who got taken off with a knock.
Oh, yeah. And Alan Wynne-Jones. Looks like he won't be involved. Although, we've said that before.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seen this film before.
Other fixtures. Portugal host Canada.
Interesting.
Which will be quite an interesting one. Spain host Fiji. Which, ooh. Given that Spain lost to Italy,
there's probably a Facebook feed for that somewhere.
Doesn't bode. Yeah, I'm sure there will be. Doesn't bode well for Spain, to be honest. Albeit it's a Fiji with no travelling coaches or players.
What a shame.
I'm sure they can put out a fairly decent team based on
and coach themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, actually, I've seen the squad. The squad's ace.
Yeah,
they'll be fine.
They will be fine.
But also, I'm assuming that Spain didn't have all of their players available.
Yes.
As it wasn't in the international window.
Quite right.
So all their big names.
Oriol Ripoll.
Yeah,
Oriol Ripoll.
He'll be heading back.
Other games. Romania hosts Uruguay. Which I think.
That'll be quite good. That'll be nice and competitive.
Yeah.
Where are we with the World Cup qualification? It's down to Uruguay, Chile, isn't it?
I thought Uruguay have qualified. Was it? Chile.
Playing USA?
So confusing.
Because there's repechages.
Yeah. Uruguay qualified by beating USA, did they?
Yeah.
Over two legs.
Yeah.
Which
and then USA are into a repechage.
With Chile, because did Chile knock out Canada?
Yes, that's right. I think that's right.
I think that might be right.
Yeah.
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Anyway. The other game is Scotland hosting Australia, which will be quite an interesting game. Scotland with Hoggy and Finn Russell.
How will Scotland others. Nearly win that one?
Nearly, but not
nearly,
quite.
But not quite win that one.
Oh, well, Australia don't have Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's contracted in Japan.
Or there's a couple of other players.
McMahon.
And Kevin, not Kurindrani. Karevi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't travelled because they're playing in Japan.
In Japan, and their contract's in Japan.
Cash.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that'll be interesting.
So predictions then, let's go through the games. So
Ireland, Japan. Interesting.
Ireland will win at home.
Probably, but
that'll be really good.
It'll be a tasty game.
That'll be a really good game.
Yeah.
You go for Ireland on your accumulator, JB?
I'm not doing any betting this week.
Premiership Cup?
No, I only do Premiership.
Okay. I think Ireland as well, but I think that'll be a really good game.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Italy are going to concede 100,000 points against New Zealand.
At what point do New Zealand start taking this seriously and put a full team? I mean, they didn't against Wales, did they? They rested a few guys.
Yeah.
Did they take Italy seriously?
No.
Why do you think they dance around England so much?
Because England are... So, New Zealand is the biggest payday in world rugby. So the unions have to pay New Zealand to turn up. I think England are often... England don't need the payday of New Zealand because they'll sell out Twickenham every game, every time anyway. Well, maybe not if they play like...
Because it always feels like South Africa, Australia.
Yeah, yeah. Because they've got to pay however many million pounds to have the pleasure of the All Blacks turning up.
I wouldn't pay them. No way.
That's what the RFU are doing. Basically, they pay them once every 4 years.
I'll check that. See what the actual situation is.
So, other meaningful games: England Tonga, home win; Wales South Africa.
Yeah, good
away win.
South Africa.
Yeah, France Argentina.
France.
I think it will
I'm
be
so
France.
Excited about that one.
That's the game of the weekend.
That'll be a good game. Romania Uruguay. I think it'll be Uruguay. And then Scotland Australia will probably be Australia.
Could be Scotland.
But
though.
That'd be a good marker for
well,
Scotland.
Well, if we knew the result, we wouldn't play the game.
Exactly. But you normally do know the results. That's why you make loads of money betting.
Well, I'm still over double my original stake. On Premiership, but this week cost me a lot of money. A lot of money was wasted this week.
Did you do in game bets as well?
I don't have an in bet budget at the moment. In game budget. I started with £7. I'm now up to £27. So it's just
300%.
Yeah, but I was up to something like 150 at one point.
No, that's 400%. Nearly 400%.
Yeah, 350%.
Some of the game. Exeter killed me last week. This week,
yeah. London Irish,
Sale, London Irish, and Bristol. No, let's say London Irish and Gloucester.
Gloucester, yeah.
The fun has stopped, boys. The fun has stopped.
When the fun stops, stop, JB.
Yes,
too right.
Definitely. I think that's everything.
Yeah. Right, let's go then.
Did you see there's one other bit of news that James Haskell is trading? Well, he traded rugby for MMA, and that never happened. And he's had surgery on his back,
so it's
never going to happen now. But he's trading MMA for stand-up comedy.
Oh wow, interesting.
Hmm.
Well, best of luck.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to do. You've done.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Another time.
So maybe
on a patron's podcast.
On a patron's podcast or a live show.
I was going to say maybe for when we get our acting gear and in 2022 when we do a live show, maybe we could tell the JB story of his stand-up comedy performance.
I'd never take the piss out of anyone that has got the guts to stand up and do it.
I could not do it.
It makes me shiver just thinking about it.
It took huge guts to stand up there and do it.
Anyway, save it for a live pod.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I would say fair play to anyone that gives that a go.
Definitely.
Because it is brutal. Right, let the boys play and...
Yeah.
Contact eggchasers@gmail.com, patreon.com/eggchasers. He's at Jay Beardmore. We're at Rugby Podcast. See you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.